how did I become a poet? The more I look backwards, the more continuity there seems to be in the answer to that question. Like a lot of people, I was one of those children who really loved reading and writing and wrote poems and stories growing up and shared them with people and gave them away and didn't really do anything serious or really disciplined with or about them. And when I was a sophomore in college, I was really lucky enough to make the acquaintance of Thomas Sayers Ellis, who is one of the co-founders of the Darkroom Collective. I met him around the same time that my English classes, which had been survey English courses, were finally coming into the 20th century, and we were reading poets like Seamus Heaney. Well, we were reading Seamus Heaney, and that's the poet that kind of stopped me in my tracks and made me really think about what was happening on the page and what it made me want to try and do with my own ideas. I loved the way that Heaney was able to look very closely at ordinary things and discover an entirely different way of seeing the world and seeing lived experience as a result. And as it happened, he taught at the college where I studied, and the Darkroom Collective kind of put me in touch with many more living poets who were active in Cambridge and Boston and willing to talk to and read with younger poets. So all of the stuff that was happening academically, all of the questions that I was having as like a person that toward the end of adolescence, who still, I guess, had a lot of growing up to do, and all of the interest and excitement that the young people who were making the Darkroom happen triggered kind of collided. And I started out by doing the lighting for the readings, which took place every other Sunday, where an established poet would come and share the stage with a young poet. And seeing that there were so many people who were just a few years older than me, but who were taking themselves and their words and their ideas so seriously, and who had devoted huge chunks of their, you know, their weeks or their days, or I guess really their lives, to sitting down and working into and through ideas in language, made me realize that I didn't have to wait until the end of my life to write a book or to save the things that I was writing or show them to anyone. I always thought writers were people who lived lives and then at the end of their lives gathered up everything they had to say and put it down on the page and printed it. So I kind of thought that's what I was supposed to do. After starting to share the first few poems I was writing with people in the dark room, I was encouraged to start taking some of the creative writing workshops at Harvard. And there I met and fell under the spell of Lucy Brock Broido, who's been such an important teacher for so many poets of my generation. She has a really wonderful way of making students realize that poetry is a kind of presence, this willful, magical force that kind of catches you and that can take you on a pretty marvelous ride. She brought in poets' work from so many different moments and so many different schools, and had a really wonderful way of making us see the leaps within the poems and recognize all of these different options we had in terms of deciding who the speaker of the poems was going to be and what their relationship to us, the poet, would or would not be. She taught us how to think about asking questions in poems and giving things. She had this wonderful quote on the top of one handout that she gave us that was from an anonymous source, but now that I'm a little bit older, I think it must have been like a madam of some glorious brothel. And she says, "I tell my girls, give something away. Don't just answer the questions, but ask something, say something, give a little bit of yourself away," or something like that. I love the metaphor of a poem as being like a young whore going out into the world, eager to give as much as possible and not fail. Maybe that's a pretty crude analogy, but I like the idea that poems can be a little naughty and very generous. So poetry kind of stuck after that, and I made a lot of conscious choices to keep it at or near the center of my life, even if that meant I was going to be struggling professionally for a long time. I think it pays off, not necessarily in dollar signs, but in giving you a reason to maintain a very earnest perspective, giving you a reason to listen. So often there's so many things that we don't have time or think we don't have time to take in, but that can change us and that can teach us really necessary lessons about who we are and who we ought to be, and who others are and what they can offer, or what we can offer them. So it's I think it's a series of lucky coincidences that brought me to where I am. I don't know what I would be doing. I probably would have a job in journalism or marketing, and I have a lot more questions that I didn't know how to unravel if I weren't writing poetry.